healthcare program and got into it with Emmanuel. He resigned this past week, and he talked about a very interesting situation, an event that took place between him and Emmanuel. These are not isolated incidents with Rahm Emanuel. This is a pattern. This is a long pattern with this individual. This individual doesn't belong as the chief of staff. He doesn't belong in the White House. The guy is so mentally unstable. I don't know if he tried to get in as a visitor. I don't think the Secret Service would let the guy in. He is that mentally unstable. And the mere fact that he's the closest advisor to the President of the United States should tell everyone in this country that they need to contact the White House, they need to contact their members of Congress, and they need to demand that President Obama fire this individual. This individual, Emmanuel, is dangerous. He's a very dangerous individual. He doesn't belong in the White House, let alone as chief of staff. And I'll be talking about this in the program tonight. We'll go through the Massa incident. We'll go through some other things. But it's quite clear that we have a situation that's very, very similar to what happened in Watergate, with one exception. None of Richard Nixon's advisors were as psychopathic and dangerous as Rahm Emanuel. As a matter of fact, I thought Karl Rove was the most dangerous advisor to a president. He's still a dangerous person. He's now trying to rewrite history with his new book. As Karl Rove was bad, don't get me wrong, but Karl Rove was a sneaky, lying weasel, probably sociopathic. But with Rahm Emanuel, we have somebody who's psychopathic. And in the same, when I say psychopath, I'm talking Ted Bundy psychopath. I'm talking Jeffrey Dahmer psychopath. This is what we're talking about with Rahm Emanuel. This guy's got a long history. And it needs to be exposed. It needs to be exposed now. And President Obama can do himself a big favor by getting rid of this guy, Emmanuel, getting rid of Ezekiel Emmanuel's brother, who's been seconded from the National Institutes of Health to draft this health care bill. And he needs to make sure that the other Emmanuel, Ari Emmanuel, the big Hollywood super agent, never again attends any White House state dinner. This family is poison. This family is poison, and they don't belong in the White House. And it's just amazing that the Democrats could have allowed this situation to have occurred. And we'll be right back with more about Emmanuel right after this short break. This is Wayne Massey from Washington.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
But the way you hear this clip about this interchange at Massa, who was arguing with Emmanuel over policy issues, especially on health care, how the venue that Emmanuel chose to confront Eric Massa. Now, regardless of Massa's sexual orientation, I think what Massa has to say says an awful lot about Emmanuel, because it's not the first time we've heard this type of behavior from Rahm Emanuel. If we can play this clip, this is Eric Massa on a radio show in upstate New York.
He does, but you just said yourself that Rahm Emanuel probably has the dirtiest mouth in Washington.
He has more than a dirty mouth. Rahm Emanuel is son of the devil spawn. He is an individual who would sell his mother to get a vote. He would strap his children to the front end of a steam locomotive. And if he doesn't like that, he can come after me personally. Because let me tell you a story about Rahm Emanuel. I was a congressman in my first 8 weeks and I was in the congressional gym, and I went down and worked out. I went into the showers, which, by the way, I for the life of me can't figure out why they took all the shower curtains off the shower stalls in the congressional shower. I mean, the last thing I want to look is my fellow colleagues naked, but they don't have any shower curtains down in the gym. And I'm sitting there showering, naked as a jaybird, and here comes Rahm Emanuel, not even with a towel wrapped around his tush, poking his finger in my chest, yelling at me because I wasn't going to vote for the president's budget. Do you know how awkward it is to have a political argument with a naked man?
That's surely secular.
That's quite cross to me.
It's ridiculous. So, by the way, what the heck is he doing in the congressional gym? He goes there to intimidate members of Congress.
Right.
And he was very surprised to find out that it was a little bit more. Come on, senior. You're going to. I mean, do you think you, after spending 21 years in the Navy and achieving the senior rank of senior chief petty officer, do you think you're going to be intimidated in a shower stall with a naked man?
No, I think I probably would have hit him.
Well, I didn't hit him. But we had words, and he hates my guts. He's hated me since day one, and now he wins. So he'll get rid of me. And
don't let him win.
And this bill will pass, and I don't know what we're going to do in this country.
Well, there you have it. Okay, that's Eric Masson, who resigned his seat over an affair. He was accused of sexually harassing some of his male staffers. Obviously, the guy's probably gay. That's all the indication. But the story wasn't Eric Masson. The story was Rahm Emanuel, and the corporate media spun it like it's all about Eric Masson, and he's another Mark Foley. This is ridiculous because the word out on Rahm Emanuel in Chicago amongst the gay community is that his behavior is psychopathic even amongst the gay community. And this is on a website called hillbuzz.org. This is a website in Chicago. Apparently a lot of the people that post on it are Chicago gay businessmen, people with some means. And they're saying, this is a posting about this incident between Mass and Emanuel. Our friend Althea asked us all about the naked misadventures of another dangerous and unstable person, Rahm Emanuel, someone none of us have ever spotted in Boys Town. Boys Town is the gay area. Rahm Emanuel, by the way, is a former ballet dancer. But these are gay people out on the posting. Someone. And that none of us has spotted in Boys Town, but when we would not be surprised to find stalking any time with a penis. So what are they saying about Emanuel? So tell me, guys, what's the deal with the naked shower time craziness Rahm got up to? Do you guys do things like that in locker rooms normally? Althea is pouring more of the $12 pitcher of hard lemonade. We've thought about it for a minute and told Althea what we'll tell you. That sort of behavior is just not normal. We've never encountered anything like it in any locker room we've ever been to. So this is what is basically being said about Emanuel, that he is such a psychopath. He threatens people, and if he can threaten gay members of Congress, he knows how to do it, to intimidate them naked in the congressional shower. Massive was right. What is the White House chief of staff doing in the congressional shower? They've got a gym in the White House. He was only there to intimidate, and intimidating somebody standing there stark naked is really intimidation. The guy's a psychopath. He doesn't belong as a chief of staff, and I don't know why Obama's keeping him on. I have an idea. I'm not ready to report on it yet, but I'm looking into this. It's going to take up a lot of time as far as investigation is concerned, but I think when this is all said and done, we're going to be looking at a severely handicapped administration, and I would not be surprised to see Biden become president before this term of Obama is over, because I think we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg with Eric Masson. Now, this also gets into the situation with what happened between Emanuel and Governor Blagojevich, the governor of Illinois, who was run from office because he was accused of selling Obama's Senate seat to the highest bidder. Now, it's quite clear when you listen to the transcript that dirty prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, He's the U.S. Attorney for Northern Illinois. Obviously, he's in bed with Rahm Emanuel. I'm not saying literally in bed. Of course, what we're talking about here, who knows? This is the conversation that Emanuel had with Blagojevich over the Senate seat of Obama. Now, Blagojevich, and I think he's right in this, says, how come you didn't hear the whole transcript? We didn't hear the whole transcript because Fitzgerald, without an indictment, leaked this to the media, grandstanded in a press conference, total prosecutorial misconduct on the part of Fitzgerald, not his first, won't be his last, isn't it funny, a Bush appointee kept on by Obama. He was kept on by Rahm Emanuel to basically get Rob Blagojevich. I wanted to play a rendition of this, but this conversation is so filled with profanity, I can't do it. I'm going to try to clean this up. This is Rahm Emanuel. This is him on the phone. This is Rahm Blagojevich. Hey, Rahm. Yeah, it's Rod. Uh-huh. What's going on, Governor? I'm busy. Well, it's about that Senate appointment. We already gave you the list of people we like. Yeah, I've been looking at the list over. Interesting names, good people. How's the transition going? It's going fine, Governor. Are you calling to effing tell me anything or what? No, I'm just wondering if you have all your picks already made. I heard something about Daschle for HHS. I'm not going to discuss ongoing deliberations, Gov. You know that. Hey, come on, Rahm. Let's not act like I'm a stranger here. Did I call you a stranger? If I thought you were a stranger, you think I'd be interrupting my important effing business to take this GD effing phone call? Hey, you don't have to get pert with me, Rahm. This isn't me being curt, Gov. This is me being effing busy. Now, what did you call about? I'm just feeling you out, seeing if Valerie Jarrett still wants that Senate seat, just wondering what kind of priority that is for the president-elect. Now, let me add in here, Valerie Jarrett was not the key person on that Senate list. Blagojevich wanted Jan Schakowsky, one of his buddies, congresswoman from a neighboring district in Chicago, to be in that Senate seat. And the Valerie Jarrett name, I think, was a red herring, a straw man floated by Emanuel to cover his butt in this whole attempt. Emanuel was more interested in making a deal on that Senate seat, I think more so than Blagojevich. Anyway, this is back to Emanuel. Actually, it's not a priority. Valerie's had second thoughts about the job. So there you have it, right from Emanuel, saying she has second thoughts about the job. What, she doesn't want it anymore? Which indicated she must have wanted it at one time. Emanuel, she's having second thoughts. You want more details, you ask her. She won't take my calls. Big effing surprise. What's that supposed to mean? I don't know. What is it supposed to mean, Governor? A, you're a effing crook. You're a effing a-hole. C, all of the above. Blagojevich, I'm clean, Rahm. You know this. You think that effing Fitzgerald would be twiddling his effing thumbs if he had crap to go on. I got to go, Gov. You appoint whoever you want. We really don't give a crap. I'm cleaning this up, of course. What if I appoint Valerie? What if she takes it? Emanuel, what do you want me to say? We'd appreciate it. I'm not going to effing kiss your ring over it. Appreciate it? Come on, this is a Senate seat we're talking about. It's worth a lot more than appreciation. You asked for us for a list. We gave you an effing list. You want to make your own list and make your own effing list, raising his voice. But if you're asking for anything else from me or Barack or Valerie, then you can effing stop talking right now, Rod. Well, wait a sec there, Rahm. Wait just a effing minute. Who are you to talk to me like that? I effing made you. You made me. You made me. Tell me you're effing joking. No, no, no. You listen to me, crap face. You see this list? I got the names. M effing Obama effing once for the Senate. I just ripped it in two. How do you like that? Whoops. Harris. That's his chief of staff, Harris. Just dropped it in the shredder. Harris. Yes, sir. Did you just drop that list in the shredder? Shredder noise. Emanuel, Emanuel says, you have me on effing speakerphone. Blagojevich, it's in the shredder, Rahm. The list is bye-bye. Hold on a sec. You got me on effing speakerphone? Who the F do you think I am? We'll be back with more of this transcript right after this short break. This is Wayne Matson from Washington.
Public Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Matson with Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup. And if you'd like to call into the program this evening, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Before the break, I was basically trying to clean up as best as I can the conversation between these two potty mouths, Rahm Emanuel and then Governor Rod Blagojevich, over the Senate seat, the list of possible picks for the Senate seat to replace Obama. Now, keep in mind, Blagojevich is a Chicago politician. He held Rahm Emanuel's seat before Emanuel had it. It's the 5th District. And before that, it was Dan Rostenkowski, who had to go to jail because he had his fingers in a lot of inkwells and money pits in Congress. But be that as it may, regardless of the language coming from Blagojevich, we got to listen to what he's saying here. This is the conversation continuing. Emanuel is upset that Blagojevich has him on speakerphone, has just shredded the list from that was provided to him by the transition office. Emanuel, hold a sec. Hold on a sec. You got me on effing speakerphone. Who the F do you think I am? Blagojevich. Who are you, Rahm? Who are you? You're crap. You hear me? Don't come back to Chicago, Rahm. It's not your town anymore. Well, let me add here. Sally Quinn, who's married to Ben Bradley, the former editor of the Washington Post, wrote something a little while ago stating that Rahm might leave Washington to run for mayor of Chicago. Mayor Richard Daley is not intending to leave his seat. I think what that basically is indicating, there is now very bad blood between Emanuel and the Daley political machine. It has to do with the failure of Obama to get the Olympics. He thought he was going to get it so he could make money for Valerie Jarrett, who's one of the biggest real estate investors in Chicago, bought up all this cheap land from the city and was going to sell it to the Olympic, the Olympic people for the Olympic Village, for the stadium, all this stuff they were going to build. Obviously, Brazil had that thing locked up. Obama went to Copenhagen, didn't come back with the Olympics. Daley's out a lot of money. He was not a big supporter of the idea of spending money that Chicago, like many cities, doesn't have to get the Olympics. And, of course, he blames Jarrett, Obama, Emanuel, all these people were, going to make money, lots of money, billions of dollars if Chicago got the Olympics on these land scams. And one of the people was the Chicago School Board President, Michael Scott. Well, what happened to him not long ago? He was found in the Chicago River with a bullet in his head. They said it was suicide. Well, the Chicago Police Department still is looking at it as an open case. It could still be murder. Now you've got somebody, Michael Scott, big Chicago real estate developer, linked to Valerie Jarrett, one of Obama's advisors, Rahm Emanuel, his chief of staff, winds up dead. Where's the media on this? They're not there because this is a huge scandal. They know that this thing, what's going on in Chicago, there's so many skeletons there, literal and figurative, that it could bring down this administration. Let's get back to the this is the Emanuel Blagojevich phone call. Emanuel, pick up the phone, Rod. Blagojevich, I'll put someone in the Senate who will effing F you. I might even put myself in there. How you like that, Rahm? How you going to explain that to effing Barack? Every time he's got to call me up for my effing vote, he'd have to take my calls then, wouldn't he? Apparently, Obama wasn't taking Blagojevich's phone calls. The governor of Illinois, Emanuel screaming. I said, pick up the effing phone. Blagojevich picks up the phone. Speakerphone is now off. I got your attention now, didn't I? Emanuel, shut the F up and listen to me for 1 second, Rod. And I want you to listen carefully because this is the last time I'm ever going to talk to you. You are effing dead to me. You've been effing dead to Barack since 06. Now you're dead to me. Know what that means? That means you're dead to my people in Chicago. Daily on down. Well, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. That's me. That's not these guys talking. And all these friends you think you have aren't going to touch you with a 10-foot effing pole. I think when Emanuel said my people in Chicago, he's talking about his is Russian, Israeli, Jewish mobster friends who are going to make money off of this deal, this Olympic deal, and all the other dirty deals that are going on in Chicago. I think he basically Daley's out of the picture now. He's intimidated. He's intimidated everybody. Probably has made threats against Daley when he said he was interested in running for mayor. Blagojevich, oh, now you're the effing godfather. F you, Emmanuel. No, F you. Well, you know, this is getting into basically schoolyard type stuff here. This goes back and forth. Emmanuel, listen up, a hole. The crap's going to hit the fan. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next month. And when Fitzgerald, he calls him Fitz, finally brings down the hammer, it's going to be my name that's going through your head. You won't know the hows or the effing whys, but it's going to have my effing fingerprints all over it. Have a great life, fatso. Blagoya, hey, F, click. Okay, so here we have Blagojevich has said you didn't listen to the whole, all the transcripts were not released by this dirty prosecutor and buddy of Emmanuel Fitzgerald. He's been carrying the bags, like his father was carrying the bags for these old ladies that lived on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. He was a doorman where they lived in the Upper East Side when they brought their bags back from Bergdorf Goodman and B. Altman and Gimbel's and Macy's. You know, he'd hold the door. His son's still holding the door for these people. Anyway, that's what this is saying here. And it's getting worse. And Eric Massa, he hit the nail on the head. And we'll be right back with more on Rahm Emanuel right after this short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Three wife and daughter were seriously in a car accident this past week, driving north on Interstate 95 in the Washington, D.C. area. They were rear-ended by a tractor-trailer. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, who must have also have had plenty of words with Rahm Emanuel, as any husband and father would do, rushed to the hospital and to see them. Mrs. Reid's neck was broken. I think her back is broke. I mean, she's very seriously injured. The daughter was very seriously injured. Where does Reid have to go? He's got to go back to Capitol Hill to talk to who? Rahm Emanuel. Now, what kind of psychopathic person would, you know, impress the need? Is the health care bill, which is so flawed because Emmanuel's brother Zeke is involved with it, and he's shilling for the insurance companies, most certainly. And after all of Rahm's buddies in the blogosphere like this, Marcos Melitza Zuniga, Daily Coast guy, goes after Dennis Kucinich because Kucinich isn't going to support the Obama bill because it doesn't have a public option. He says he calls him a little, it sounds the same kind of language that comes out of Rahm Emanuel's mouth. Believe me, calls Kucinich a little, prick. That's what he called him. This kind of behavior from Rahm Emanuel. Karl Rove did essentially the same type of thing, but he'd go through surrogates. And he wasn't quite as foul-mouthed as Rahm Emanuel. They may have some of the same predilections, certainly, but certainly they're two different type of people, both very dangerous. But Emanuel, I think, is psychopathically dangerous. And what I heard from a top GOP lobbyist this past week in Washington is Emmanuel has the Republican and Democratic staff and members on the Hill petrified because they consider him to be dangerous and psychopathic. This guy doesn't belong in the government, let alone in the White House, let alone access to the Oval Office, unless he's got something on President Obama. And I think, the sum of all fears, this could be the case. The other thing is Joe Biden, the vice president, was basically punked by Emmanuel's buddy in Jerusalem, Benjamin Netanyahu. he went over there, and then Netanyahu announced, his government announced they were going to build over 1,000 more apartments in occupied East Jerusalem. This was a real slap at Biden. And then there was this, incident where Netanyahu presents Biden with a plaque with a document honoring his late mother, Biden's late mother, and then he handed it to him, but he smashed it with his elbows. He said he did it accidentally, and so he hands it to Vice President Biden, and there's these shards of glass flying around, and it's the most bizarre thing. But everything they do over there has a meaning. This is a protocol and symbolism conscious country, and basically what happened there is, you know, this glass. Look, what they break glasses at Jewish weddings. It's to remind people of the fact that the temple, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, hasn't been rebuilt, and that's the ultimate goal. And it's going to happen because Israel claims against international law that East Jerusalem belongs to it. No other country in the world recognizes that. The United Nations doesn't recognize that. It's occupied territory. The other thing is, it's also quite certain that the idea of broken glass is directly linked to Kristallnacht, what happened in 1938 in Germany when the Nazis broke the windows of synagogues and Jewish homes and businesses. And another message from Netanyahu to Biden. Biden got punked over there, and he came back, obviously, with his tail between his legs. And look, this is all manipulated. This is done in advance. This is done to make Biden, in this case, look bad. But by extension, it made Obama look bad. And the question to be asked is, what did Emmanuel know about this? I have people from sending me messages from the AIPAC community, like, basically saying, hey, look, Emmanuel doesn't like Netanyahu. I think it's baloney. I think it's disinformation. I think these guys, Emmanuel's father was a terrorist, helped blow up the King David Hotel in Jerusalem in 1946. Obviously, Emmanuel's, that's Emmanuel's father. Benjamin Emmanuel was a member of the Irgun gang. Netanyahu, you know, long history of similar type activities. This is the Israeli far right. These are basically fascists. These are terrorists. There's not any space, believe me, between Rahm Emanuel and Benjamin Netanyahu, as much as the people are trying to sell me on that notion. I also want to play. This is a clip here. I want to play. This is about the list. This is from Fox News out of Chicago on the incident between Rahm Emanuel and Governor Blagojevich. Blagojevich has said there's a lot more that's going to come out. My sources are telling me the same thing. When this Blagojevich thing goes to trial, he's probably going to walk, and Emanuel's going to look pretty bad. That's why his lawyers have to be very careful about the judges that are picked for this, jury shopping and judge shopping, because we know that's what people like Fitzgerald does, and Eric Holder will be right in there involved in the same type of business. Let's listen to this clip. This is from Fox in Chicago.
Rahm Emanuel and the governor himself about candidates who might be filling the seat vacated by Barack Obama, and those conversations may have been taped. Governor Rod Blagojevich arrived home tonight without comment.
Governor!
But a source familiar with the investigation confirms for Fox Chicago News that Rahm Emanuel did in fact have multiple conversations with Governor Rod Blagojevich and his chief of staff, John Harris, about the Senate seat. The source says there was a list of names given to the governor's office of candidates that would be acceptable to President-elect Barack Obama. The conversations happened after the FBI wiretaps were in place and after Emanuel was named Obama's chief of staff early last month. The timing of the conversations made it likely, the source says, that the phone conversations were recorded and are in the hands of the FBI.
I am confident that no representatives of mine would have any part of any deals related to this seat. I think the materials released by the U.S. attorney reflect that fact.
It would not be unexpected for there to be conversations between Obama's transition team and the governor's office about candidates Obama might favor, and the source did not say if those conversations involved any quid pro quo for deal-making. Meanwhile, a spokesman for Blagojevich says it was business as usual in the governor's office once again.
I know it's difficult in this situation, but the governor is there. He's upbeat, trying to be positive, and let people know that, look, we have to continue on.
We reached out to President-elect Barack Obama's transition team on several occasions tonight asking for comment on our story, but they did not return multiple email requests for comment. Live in Ravenswood, Manor, Craig Wall, Fox Chicago News.
All right. You heard Obama there saying his team had no discussions with the governor. That's a lie. The President of the United States lied about that. Of course, Emmanuel was on the transition team, prospective chief of staff, obviously had multiple, you heard of multiple conversations. What Blagojevich is saying is, why not reveal all those conversations? I'll tell you, what I reported this past week is, the reason Charlie Rangel went down as the chairman of the Ways and Means, the reason why they're trying to get John Conyers off of House Judiciary, is that Emmanuel wants to replace the old guard in the Congressional Black Caucus with his own people. I can guarantee you on that Emmanuel list that was given to Blagojevich, you probably didn't find one person, including Jesse Jackson III, on that list. That was a diversion to say he was a candidate. Blagojevich, because he doesn't like the congressional senior black leadership, because he feels they're standing in his way. Source told me that he refers to them as schwarzes. Now, that is the Yiddish term, and pardon me for saying this, it's a cruel word, but that's what the Yiddish language refers to. It's the same word that means nigger. Now, if that's the kind of individual that's in the White House, the chief of staff, and he goes after Charlie Rangel, he's getting, look, none of these people are clean, but he's selectively taking them out, one by one. Conyers' wife got in, she got sentenced to over 3 years in prison. She was a former Detroit City Council president, and now there's a suggestion that maybe Conyers was involved in that. This is all pre-planned by Rahm Emanuel. This guy is a dirty, dirty operator. He's a psychopath. It's quite clear what he's doing, because we know that Sandy Levin, one of Emanuel's buddies, took over House Ways and Means. If Conyers is forced to step down, at Judiciary, Howard Berman goes from House Foreign Affairs to take over Judiciary. That means Gary Ackerman moves up to take over House Foreign Affairs. And if Benny Thompson, they go after him, Homeland Security. They got Loretta Sanchez to worry about from California. They'll move her aside, and they'll get Jane Harmon from California in there. All of Rahm Emanuel's people taking over the key committee chairmanship in the House of Representatives. That's the game this guy is playing, and Barack Hussein Obama is going along with it. It doesn't matter whether his middle name is Hussein. He's being played as a sucker here, and it's quite clear that he's being manipulated and operated by Rahm Emanuel. So we'll see how much the President of the United States is really the President of the United States if he fires this guy. And my feeling is, I don't think Obama can fire Rahm Emanuel, because that's like Charlie McCarthy firing Edgar Bergen. Or to bring it a little more up to date, that's like Knucklehead firing Paul Winchell. You know, the puppet's not going to fire the ventriloquist. And that's what we have here with the situation with Obama and Emanuel. Now, how it got to that situation, this present situation, that's the thing that is the cancer that may be growing on this presidency and may be the end of this presidency, because this is not the transparent administration that Obama proclaimed he was going to institute. This is every bit as all this, you know, information, secret information, half-truths, documents that are not released, transcripts that are not released, prosecutorial misconduct, political prosecutions, dirty judges, dirty prosecutors, tainted jury pools. That's what we have with the Obama administration. And it's starting to make Watergate look like a minor traffic infraction, a misdemeanor by comparison, because we're talking about here the blackmailing of the President of the United States by an individual who's got links to another country, in this case Israel, and that poses big problems for the United States, not just in the Middle East, but around the world. Latin America, Africa, Europe, you name it. So that's what the situation is with this character, Emmanuel, and the sooner he goes, but I don't think he's going, because I think if Emmanuel goes, Obama goes. We may wind up with Vice President Biden. Who knows who he's got? Well, we know some of the people that advise him. They're not as bad as Emmanuel, but they're no month in the country either. So we have to look at this all in perspective. And that's the situation. And again, if you'd like to call into the program and talk about Rahm Emanuel or any other issue, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Again, we talk about this health care initiative, the Obamacare, what Dennis Kucinich being attacked by people who are basically loyalists of Rahm Emanuel and the Democratic Leadership Council, which he's very tied into. These are the corporate-owned and operated Democrats. These are Democrats in name only. These are Dinos. They are not Democrats. We see a lot of people, a lot of incumbents leaving office. I've already reported that it's quite clear that Emmanuel has access to a lot of information from wiretaps. We saw how he used it against Blagojevich. We don't know how many of these people who are stepping down are just leaving because they're tired of the intimidation from Rahm Emanuel and his cohorts. We saw recently in the Washington Post two puff pieces, one by Dana Milbank, the other by Jason Horowitz, saying basically Obama would do best to just listen to Emanuel. It sounded like he was even throwing David Axelrod, the president's the top political advisor, under the bus. It seemed like he was throwing Valerie Jarrett under the bus. And actually, it seemed like he was throwing Obama himself under the bus. But I've been told, be very careful with the perceptions to make it look like, Emmanuel's this guy out there, and it's Axelrod, it's messing everything up, and it's and these others. That may be all for show, too. Anyway, we got Richard calling from Long Beach. Richard, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Wayne. I just wanted to mention, I know inadvertently or not, but when you talked about the potential new committee chairman that Mr. Emmanuel has lined up, they all were Jewish.
Well, that's right. They're his allies. Right. Yeah.
And that's a pretty frightening concept when you think about it, because they all have their Israeli first attitudes over there.
Absolutely. And Jane Harman, we know she was under investigation for trying to cut a deal with this Larry Franklin and the two AIPAC guys who received classified information from Larry Franklin at the Pentagon. And it looked like she was trying to cut a deal to become the chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. She was linked directly to conversations with the number one Mossad guy at the Israeli embassy in Washington. Can you imagine her as the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee? I mean, you'd have Michael Chertoff over there every day getting everything he wanted from that committee.
Well, at least it'd be finally out in the open.
Well, that's true, but it's just the thought is frightening that these individuals are making this power play, and we've got a president of the United States that's just basically powerless to do anything about it. And I think that's what everyone should be concerned about, especially with the picking off of these very senior people in the Congressional Black Caucus who've been there forever. I mean, Charlie Rangel replaced Adam Clayton Powell in the House of Representatives from that district in Harlem. That's how long Charlie's been around. Now, he temporarily gave up his gavel. The word is, you don't temporarily give up your gavel, especially for a powerful committee, and hope to get it back. But anyway, thanks for calling in, Richard, and we will be right back with more phone calls right after this short break. This is Wayne Matz from Washington.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Wayne Matz Report, the Saturday Roundup, and we're coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., and we've been talking about what I think is the very reminiscent of the Watergate era, a little bit different situation, but when John Dean, the counsel, the president's counsel, chief counsel, testified before the Watergate committee and said, there is a cancer growing on the presidency. He told Nixon that. And Nixon did nothing, and Nixon ultimately resigned from office as the first president to leave office. We now have another cancer on the presidency, and his name is Rahm Emanuel. And we're hearing it from so many sources. The governor, the ex-governor of Illinois, former Representative Eric Mass. Isn't it interesting? They're all former. So people who say that this guy, they're afraid of Emanuel. Well, let's look at the record. All the people who have crossed him are no longer in office. Blagojevich's face, it was impeached, thrown out of office in Illinois. His chief of staff, as is Blagojevich, is under indictment. They're facing trial. Eric Massa resigns. He's facing potential ethics violations in the House of Representatives. We don't know if that could go to something more with the way they misuse these prosecutors to go after political enemies. But I think that it's clear that we may have a similar situation to all what was going on with the plumbers in Watergate, going after Daniel Ellsberg, going after the Democratic National Committee. It seems like in this case, Emanuel's going after everybody, Republican, Democrat, Independent. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. The guy is a psychopath, and he has a long track record in Chicago, and people there are afraid of him. They're careful what they say. There's apparently a breakdown between Emanuel and the Daily Machine. I don't know who would win out in that situation. But I think we clearly have an issue here where there's a lot of skeletons in Chicago, and now Emanuel's building up a lot of skeletons here in Washington, D.C. I want to play this clip. This is a clip about Watergate. You can hear John Dean himself talk about the cancer in the presidency, and I think it's really important to go back and look at what happened there and listen to what happened there, because I think we have a similar situation today with this Obama White House. We can play this clip.
House Counsel John Dean begins testifying before the Senate panel investigating the Watergate scandal.
I began by telling the president that there was a cancer growing on the presidency, and that if the cancer was not removed, the president himself would be killed by it.
The scandal forces Richard Nixon to become the first president to resign the following year.
Well, there you have it. The cancer growing on the presidency, and Nixon did resign. And now what we have with... We know that there's bad blood between Rahm Emanuel and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She wanted him fired in 1993 from the Clinton White House. Clinton did not do it, and he remained until 98 when he decided to leave and become a Wall Street investment banker based in Chicago. Made a lot of money there. That money was not clean by any stretch. How about... About $16 million came into his campaign coffers, and that's a violation of federal election regulations. So we know all that. And Emanuel is a cancer on the presidency. President Obama needs to do something about it. This is Wayne Mattson with the Saturday WMR Saturday Roundup, and we will be back with you this time next week.
Thank you.